This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Ian Berger from the New York Rhinos and John Callahan from the Phoenix Rise, both NPFL teams, and these guys are the general managers.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson. We got CTP behind the camera. We have traveled to Atlanta for the NPFL Combine. We're standing here with two of the coaches. Is that right?
Coaches? I'm kind of a GM, owner, manager.
We've got like all these new jobs being created.
That's right. We're still trying to figure that out.
I'm a general manager as well, kind of helping out on the coaching side too.
Gotcha. So we have Ian Berger, yep. New York Rhinos, and John Callahan, but I've been told this weekend you go by Cal.
Yeah, preferred.
Rising Phoenix. Phoenix Rising?
The Phoenix Rise.
Phoenix Rise.
Yeah,
I
want to
say
that
Rising
down.
Phoenix. Yeah. I'll figure it out sometime in the next couple years. I talked to Jim and Tony both, and they said that you two would be the ones to get on the podcast together because you have like this feud going on, you hate each other. But then I talked to you guys about it.
Yeah, Ian's pretty intolerable. He's just too damn nice.
Cal doesn't share too much. But I will get along with him just for the sake of a podcast.
I do still owe you money for breakfast this morning.
Everyone's very amicable at this point. No one hates anybody yet because no one's competed against anyone yet. So it's a super friendly environment. You guys are probably sharing some information. I look over. Everyone's kind of sitting at the same bench. Running some stats, and then once everyone makes a split, y'all are like best friends now, but you'll hate each other soon.
Yeah, today and through the combine process, we're trying to move the best athletes through because we've either had all our athletes signed or we're pretty close. And so once you get to the level 2 combine, there will be a lot less sharing of information, right?
Gotcha.
Now we're trying to select athletes for the draft to come to Phoenix or New York, and so at that point it'll be a little bit gray about how friendly we're going to be.
For sure.
It sounds like to me this is more about trying to make sure the best athletes get into the NPFL. It's not really about your team.
Correct. We just want to make sure the best athletes continue on through the process and have the opportunity to become professional athletes in the NPFL.
Do you guys have anything specifically that you're looking for this weekend? If you're still sharing information at this point?
I think actually Ian said it best yesterday, and it's maybe not a great answer, but it's like we're looking for someone who can do everything. And really first and foremost, because there are so many great athletes out there, I think the teamwork and the being exposed to being on a team and how you interact with other athletes, especially when things don't go well. We noticed that, particularly in Dallas, there were a few really good athletes that just didn't handle it very well. And you're like, man, we're going to be a tight team.
They performed well, but just maybe didn't handle failure very well.
Exactly, and that's what it was. And so those are the things that will come out tomorrow, we're hoping. Today is challenging because there's a lot of athletes, there's a lot of different data, and we don't have a lot of time.
Right.
The top 10, 15 will be easy, right, Ian? They have been easy for us?
Correct. The top 10, 15 have separated themselves from the rest of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the biggest things that I've noticed is some of the athletes come up to you and talk to you and are really nice people, and it's a separator. When you're looking at that list, who moves on?
Yeah.
When you kind of have a personal relationship with somebody as opposed to just a number on a sheet and some statistics, it makes a big difference.
So you're a big fan of steak dinners, golf, is that right?
Golf, long walks on the beach.
So if you were to be schmoozed, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm a romantic at heart, for sure.
and just so we're not setting a mixed message here, in Boston, don't come up and like be creepy stalker about it. Like, come up, introduce yourself, and just be a good cat.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take that long because we do have to talk to a lot of people. And we need to watch the athletes.
Yeah.
So
for sure. And for all you people listening that are attending the Boston Combine, Cal is a big hugger. So don't even give him a warning. Just give him a big hug.
True story. Yeah. Not afraid of the hug. trying to teach Ian a little bit about that.
So it's not all about the numbers at this point. You're still trying to find out who's a pain in the ass, who's a basket case when things don't go their way, who's going to be accepting of substitutions and not throw a fit when they're not the all-star like they always are on an individual sport or in an individual sport, because this is all team.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. That's it, right? And so what we can see in the individual lifts, right, you can see a little bit. Like someone hits a PR, like we're all freaking excited, right?
Yeah.
But if it's the look at this guy, it's like, okay, well, that's not really what we're looking for, because we're going to have a bunch of other athletes that can do that too.
Right.
And we need to be comfortable doing that and handling success, right?
Yeah, I've been talking to a few athletes and I'm hearing, oh, yeah, snatch 275. But there's like a dozen other dudes that snatched 275 too. Now I got to figure out where else can I separate myself. You know, that is impressive. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of guys that can do that now.
It's been constant evolving for us because the standard just keeps on getting set higher and higher and higher. And every time,
so you think maybe in LA you were like, you know, it got set here, but by the time you got to Dallas and now Atlanta, you're like, oh shit, there's more than I thought possible.
I mean, we watched Jerome Perryman and Los Angeles hit a 600-pound deadlift, and we were all in a maze.
Yeah.
Next weekend, we're in Dallas, and all of a sudden, Paul Smith's pulling 640-plus. And all of a sudden, here, you're seeing a few dudes pull 6-plus. And you're like, wow. Just keeps on getting set higher and higher.
Yeah.
Now it's just the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get the athletes later on in the combines can go, okay, well, that guy pulled 6, so now I got to pull 610. Mm-hmm. And so you got a little bit of that going on,
I'm
sure.
Yeah, and really, I think the experienced athletes, right, you all have worked with them, like, they know that they just got to go in and play their game and not get caught up in the fact that 15 guys can do 275 snatch, right? And so if they can play that game and not let them rattle them when they get over and do the power clean shoulder overhead, they're going to be fine, you know? And we'll see their numbers be consistent across the grid.
Yeah.
But when they start trying to do what other people are doing, you know, that's when the shit goes out the window.
You know, the most experienced athletes I've watched do this, a guy like Brandon Phillips.
Perfect example.
You know, no one's probably more experienced than in this type of arena than that guy. You know, he did a snatch. He snatched 275, which was a really good lift. And then he walked away and goes, okay, I'm going to go knock out the muscle ups now. You know, it wasn't a, you know, he wasn't like a hell yeah and freaking out. Like, he kind of, he understand how the game is played. He knows that, you know, you got to go to Sunday and do that deal there.
Perfect example of literally the model athlete that we would want to bring into the Phoenix Rise. Brandon is a great example of that. You know, just talking to him, he just represents himself so well. He's very humble. But he's so accomplished, right? And that maturity, it just, you need that on your team, right, Ian? I mean, it's hard to find cats like that.
Yeah, I mean, just being humble and knowing that you're a great athlete and what you're capable of, but also making sure that you have that ego in check, because this is a team sport now, no longer an individual sport.
Yeah. Ian, how did you get involved in the NPFL?
I work with the guys at Reebok CrossFit 5th Ave and Rhino Co. And a team was bought, and I had a degree in sports management and always been a fan of fitness, and the opportunity came up like, hey, do you want to get involved in this? And I was like, I don't really know too much about it. I've heard some about it, but seems cool. Sure. Why not? You know, and probably one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Yeah.
It's just constantly ever growing. It's pretty amazing that I was, when they were briefing me on the description of the job, there wasn't too much information. They're like, yeah, we're gonna be a pro sports team.
Sport?
Yeah.
Shrug. I don't know.
Fitness. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I just graduated from college and just been training, a fitness trainer.
You've been to CrossFit Games?
I have not.
Or regionals?
Yes, regionals. Yeah. I've been a regionals athlete for the past 3 years.
Okay.
And my father has been to the games. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
you've got all that experience right there.
Yeah. I have my family owns and operates a box, which I haven't been working at much because I've been at Reebok CrossFit 5th Ave.
Yeah.
But having a whole family that does fitness is pretty cool, you know, and everybody understands what I'm doing, and it's a really cool support system.
Very cool.
Yep.
How about you, Cal? How'd you get into this?
How do I begin? I guess James came to the meeting in Dallas and had asked me to come up, and I couldn't make it. I was in Austin at the time, and still currently in Austin, but I happened to be out in Phoenix with him for one of his CCP programs, life coaching. And we're having dinner at his place and grilling burgers. And he's like, hey, man, like, you got to look at this. I think we should do it. And knowing James, right, like, if he's ready to jump on something that he's just heard about.
Yeah.
Like, you need to listen, because mm-hmm. he doesn't just throw his hat into the ring.
Right. Seems pretty like somebody who really analyzes things first.
Almost definitely. Like, yeah. he wants to sit back and take it all in and just make sure, because when he puts his name behind it, like, it needs to be to the level of what he's been doing, right?
Right, right.
And so James and I have been together 4+ years. He's been my coach. And after that conversation, we chatted more about it throughout the weekend. I went back to Austin, looked at some of the documents and what was required, and kind of like, Ian, I'm like, okay, I've never done this, but I had the benefit of having free time. I was, kind of a semi-retired trader from Chicago. I was doing some remote coaching on the side, mm-hmm. And just hadn't found what I wanted to do yet. And this was like, okay, this has about everything that I love about life, you know, like being part of a team, creating something, creating a community, a vision,
yeah,
and then following through on it. And so it really just, I mean, things just fell into place so quickly. And it got to the point, I think, Ian, it just resonates with you. It's like, I'll just figure it out because this sounds awesome. And if I don't know it, I know somebody who can help me. And I'm willing to throw my hat in the ring for that.
Nobody here has any experience at this, I don't think. Right, making it up as you go.
Right, and it's a little uncomfortable at first, but then, you know, like, when you're doing something that's uncomfortable that you love, like, you're putting a lot of effort into it, and you're making sure you're doing it right. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge is being okay with making some mistakes, right?
Yeah. That's when the coolest things happen, or at least the coolest stories.
Yeah, I mean, I know for myself, when I first got presented this opportunity and I started looking over all the stuff that we were getting into, I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself? I'm so in over my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is supposed to happen in this short period of time. And
this has moved really fast, yeah. by the way. Yeah.
And it's happened mm-hmm. faster than what we thought 2 months ago. And I think what I found, right, is that Tony's vision, which is crystal clear, and you ask him any question about it, he's got an answer, and there's no waffling. The team he has around him is super smart and sophisticated and puts things into action immediately. Like, we get constant upgrades across the board, and it's really made our job a lot easier, whether it's at the combines or branding or selecting teams. Like, it's just been, it's been a great process, and haven't had too many stumbles so far.
Yeah, and on that note, all the other team owners and operators are in the same boat. You know, they're just great people and just really helpful in every aspect of continuing and making this league prosper.
Yeah. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We want to share information that's pertinent to all of us, and then we'll have our own spin on it, right? Because geographically or the makeup of our athletes is going to be different.
Yeah.
But really, we want to try to put the best product out there. You know, it really, the way we perform reflects on the Rhinos and the founders and everybody else. And so, you know, that's something that we take very seriously, and we want to hold everybody else up to the same standard.
Yeah, this is interesting because you guys aren't just focused on your team and yourselves. You have to be focused on the NPFL at this time, because what you do here at the combine, at the draft, all that stuff, that's going to affect how the NPFL as a whole is seen. And this is really important that you guys are working together. And I'm seeing a lot of that. I can go in the office and, like, owners, potential owners, everyone's kind of like getting together, and it's you guys are staying after hours, coming in early, leaving late, and, you know, kind of working out those details together.
Well, that dynamic really changed. I mean, when we first all met in Los Angeles for the first combine, like any other team sport, you want to win and you're caring about your team. And the whole aspect of working together with other teams is a little bit foreign at first. But then, like, Tony puts everything into perspective, and then you just meet all these other guys and you're just like, we're all in it for the common goal of having a successful league.
Which What do you guys think? You know, when I heard about this, you know, how many people have to dress out? Is it 8 total?
8 possible. We're nailing that down. We may bump to 10.
Yeah. So the rules aren't even like.
They're pretty. There are a fair amount of them are established,
rules,
but we're still we're still trying to figure some of that out because we want the best product out there, right? Yeah. And so we're thinking about some other things that maybe weren't considered 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, this is like a fan-oriented sport, like 100%. trying to do the market research for the fan, see who, make sure that it's friendly to them. And so that's why you're going to get like a different product and different, try to remove the bias of like what they want to be and let the fans decide what it should be.
It's 100% about the fans, yeah. And really that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to follow, like whether it's my mom, right, yeah. or it's you, Mike, you know, who's very sophisticated around this stuff. Like people,
oh, thank you.
people will have an ability to follow and have fan, you know, have their favorite athletes and favorite teams,
oh,
and
yeah.
You know, the storytelling component is really going to draw the fan into the teams and the athletes, and like it's like the stuff that we're kind of privy to for what they're going to roll out is just amazing.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys over here earlier, and they were like, you know, what do you like about this? And I'm like, man, you know what? I like the idea of having a hometown team and going and rooting for that group of people and having the same athletes that I'm going to go root for every time. And, you know, there's going to be like community built within your, you know, city or town or whatever. And then the opportunity for, you know, maybe colleges to adopt something like this. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys think? You got four men, four women that dress out for the competition. As far as like the percentage or ratio of like specialists to generalists, I mean, I know there's going to be a benefit to having specialists in this type of environment where you don't really see that with CrossFit so much. You kind of want a group of generalists. How do you view that? Ian, let's go with you first.
Well, if you look at our athlete selection so far, we have a group of generalists. Nobody that's really a specialist just yet. We think that having a group of people that is overall well-rounded, that they're going to be able to perform whatever is handed to them. The biggest thing was at first we didn't really... The races were kind of only imaginary, you know? So now seeing them, it may be a little bit more advantageous to have a specialist, but I think the biggest piece of this is going to be strategy and having a team that works as a unit, you know? So you might not see the best individual athletes do well, but a team that could come together and really throw down and put it all together and kind of make quick decisions on the go,
yeah,
are going to be very successful. I mean,
how soon before each competition do you figure out what the actual events are going to be? Do you find out that day, or how do you know who to dress?
No, I think it's at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. So let's call it August 1st, 2nd, 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
We will be given all the races for all the matches, including up through the finals. So okay. We'll know what is going to be required for each race.
So every week you're kind of prepping for the next race, but you already know what it is.
Yeah. We know what it is. And so
is week one for each team across the board the exact same?
Yes.
Okay.
And you might see something interesting because I know Phoenix has a bunch of their athletes living out there and training together full time. And this first year we're taking a little bit different of approach. We have a bunch of our athletes coming in from all different parts of the U.S. And it's going to be hard to work together as a team, and they're going to kind of have to put it together a little bit quicker than maybe potentially your team will.
Sure. I would ask you, like, for our males, right? Like Danny Nichols, Nate Trader, Marcus Philly, James Fitzgerald, like there was no specialist there, right?
No.
I mean, you could argue that some are
Danny's strong as
How do you categorize him, right? And so
right.
I think after year one we'll have an idea of what a specialist looks like, but we don't even know, right?
That's true. I mean, you're gonna have to what degree on a spectrum. You know, you're gonna get specialists, but they're gonna be generalists with maybe a slight touch of more
gymnastics, right?
It depends on how extreme the events turn out to be, whether you really even need them or not.
Exactly.
Like, it depends on what you actually find yourself competing in, whether you need to get someone who is a true gymnast or a true strongman or whatever you need.
Now, if we add the fifth male and female to the races, then it allows for that fifth person, right? Maybe we do bring in a gymnast, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that expands that, and that becomes maybe a little bit more fun for the fans because there's a specialist who comes in, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like the pinch hitter
or whatever.
Yeah,
the more people dress out, there's more opportunities for that.
I love that about it, right? Yeah. But to Ian's point earlier, I think one of the advantages for our team is we're going to require all our athletes to be on site. And so they'll train together, we'll train the races, and we'll train together as a team. And we're, like, super excited about that. This is really the first conversation James and I had. We're like, okay, what does this look like? Well, they obviously all have to live here, right? Like, we're a pro team, and, like, that's what it should look like. And so I think over the course of the next couple of years, all teams will adopt that. Yeah. I think logistically it's a little bit tougher for some teams. And I mean, for us, we already have four athletes on site.
Right.
And, you know, it's something that we're, you know, really fired up about. For sure.
So some of the talk leading up to the kind of the MPFL coming to be, all these athletes that compete all the time but don't get paid to do so are thinking, man, maybe I could actually make a living doing this where I can train and not have to, like, have a side job or, like, you know, borrow money from my family just to get by or whatever. So at least this first year, like, what does that look like for the athletes? Are they able to all kind of quit their jobs, especially if they have to move into a new town? Like, how do they handle travel expenses to go to all these games? And, like, how does that work?
Yeah, great question. And so nobody has a signed contract yet. We're still working on the finalization of the player agreement. And even when we do, all that stuff will be confidential. But to answer your question about travel, teams provide all travel for the athletes to the matches.
That's for y'all's team or everybody's team?
Everybody's team.
Okay.
For our team, we'll provide living quarters. So whatever that looks like, and moving arrangements, we'll take care of all that for our athletes. And so being the first year, like, no one's going to get rich off this, right? And, right? And the teams, we're trying to have a little bit of a startup mentality where we're going to pay the athletes, but we can't break the bank or we're not in business next year. So we have to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But we're, you know, we're a few things away from this thing being able to blow up.
And how far off do you think profits might be? Like, where you dig out of that financial hole?
I think year two.
Year
I mean,
two.
We're actually pretty bullish on that right now. And if you'd have asked me 3-4 weeks ago, I would have said year three.
Yep.
Okay.
But, you know, there's
more optimistic.
Some,
huh?
Yeah. There's some good stuff happening right now that you know, if there's great follow through on it, then it just looks a lot better.
The more I've learned, the more optimistic I've become.
Yeah, and I got to say, you guys, when you had your podcast on it, it was like, man, you guys, like, who was in there with you guys that knew all this? Because you guys nailed it, with the exception of, you know, how
leaving the combine, you hanging.
And I thought you were like, dude, you got to back off. The combine, but you guys were like, for an hour plus, like, you got it. And then you started talking about the iterations of through college, and it was like, oh man, you guys get it. You see the value in it that we all saw when it got approached, you know, we got approached with this.
And to kind of speak on that note too, I mean, a lot of the athletes that we have taken are, I mean, the compensation is not their first goal, you know.
Right.
This year they realize the potential of the league, and they're like, we want in on ground level, you know?
Yeah.
We want to win a championship, and we want to be the best, you know? So they're coming. I mean, I could speak for Annie Thorstadter. She is the champ for a reason. She likes to win, and she's very adamant about it. So she's like, I want a team that's going to be so far superior to the rest, and I want to win the league for not this year, not next year, just become a dynasty, you know?
Right.
Now the rivalry's happening. I just heard that, by the way.
It's going to happen on this show. Everyone's going to see it live.
I mean, I could see the incentive for any high school or college. This is the perfect off-season sport for every other sport. It's going to raise the level of all the soccer players and all the football players and all the wrestlers. Anyone that doesn't have whatever season this is, a sport they're already competing in, can just do this, whatever we call this, in high school or college, and that's going to make them such better athletes for whatever their main sport is. I mean, they certainly could transfer onto this and not play any other sports and just be a full-time MPFL or whatever you want to call it. But as an off-season sport, it is perfect.
Totally agree. And actually, someone just sent me an article last night about a high school. I forget what part of the country it was in, but there were four or five that got together and had their own fitness combine. Like, dude, like, this
already?
Already.
Oh,
and it wasn't based upon anything we're doing. But they just thought about this thing, like, let's get these kids active. And, like, one kid was, like, went from 205 to 145, like, through the training process. Like, well, that's really changing lives, right? And so if in the event that we're able to kind of influence on that level and we can see it pick up in the high schools and the colleges, I mean, that's amazing. Because I totally agree. Like, this is, like, the training for this is different than what maybe we're used to, and it's you know, it's a lot.
Culture changer.
The longevity piece is huge, right? You can do this for a lot of years.
I mean, and then you even think about, like, grassroots. You know, like, you think about, like junior soccer or junior football. Like, all of a sudden it becomes junior MPFL. You know, like, think about, like, all the issues that depressed the U.S. right now in terms of like healthcare and obesity and stuff.
Yeah.
We're already starting to look into something that could change that for the future, which would be huge.
Yeah. I've had that conversation a couple times too, is like people, you know, like they start thinking deeper into like what this could really mean, you know, changing the culture, U.S. culture, and then maybe culture of some of these other countries if when it, you know, spreads internationally.
Yeah, and don't misunderstand us, like we're like our first goal is to make sure this is a success and it's fan friendly, right?
Exactly.
Like, but we see those other things that are like that, this could proliferate in a way that is really meaningful.
So both your teams have signed athletes already, even prior to the combine.
Correct.
Yes.
Do any of you regret an athlete yet?
Call him out.
They're like, oh, yeah, I hate that guy already.
It's like, who's the most annoying athlete in the league? Tell us all your secrets. We're joking.
mine's
starting to sweat.
Yeah, mine's James Fitzgerald. He's the guy who's a tough negotiator.
Drives you nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you guys did sign people ahead of time. You know, do you think, I mean, I'm assuming you don't really regret any of the athletes you signed, but do you think maybe you should have waited a little bit longer? You're seeing stuff at the combine that you kind of wish you would have waited for.
Yeah, great question. There are amazing athletes that could potentially be on both of our teams that we're seeing here.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, our philosophy is we wanted to keep it within the OPT community and the athletes that
you guys already had like a little community though.
So ours was a little bit different than everybody else's, and you know, we have people that are just bought into what, you know, what our philosophy is already, and they're committed. And so we're like, you know what? These are our people. Like, as soon as we were awarded the team, it's like, these are the 8 athletes that we're going to sign.
Right,
and it was
right.
Like that day we called them up or brought them into the office and said, we want you to be a part of this.
Very cool.
It's hard to know with some athletes if they're an athlete that just happens to be really good or if they're an athlete that is good, but they're always striving to get better. They're always trying to learn, and they're always like seeking to find better training partners, and they're willing to do the grind for the long term, and they don't just happen to be strong in the moment like you see them at a combine, and you go, well, they got snatched a lot, I'll swoop them up, and then you find out his work ethic isn't really where it should be.
You know, I think a lot of that and a lot of our research into our athletes is just competition history, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If people are proven, you know, a lot of your athletes as well as our athletes have been successful in the highest level. And, you know, I know most of these people on an individual basis, and you know the characteristics that you're looking for a team, so.
Yeah, totally. And you know what, even like, so we'll have a much greater due diligence process, like, through the level 2 and before the draft, we'll really be able to meet these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And see what they're made of. And so they may, you know, there were some cats who are going to sneak through into the level 2. It's going to happen, right? It's an imperfect process. But hopefully by then, you know, like Ian said, we'll have a lot of experience, whether it's what their previous competition experience is or just from being within the community, like we'll know them.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to make a very informed decision. I think that's why it's nice to have our 8 right now.
Right.
Because we know their history.
Right. All right, let's take a break real quick, and then we come back. I'd like to talk about where you guys see this in 2015, 2016.
Cool.
And we're back with Ian Berger and John Callahan, a.k.a. Cal. And we want to dig into where you guys see this next year, because we got officially 5 teams, hopefully 8 going into this season. Looks like maybe 7. And then going into 2015, I heard, you know, hopefully like 16 teams.
Yeah, so I think by, you know, there have been 2 other teams, right, that have been kind of informally announced, and we're going to have an 8th team. We'll have 8 teams in this first season, and then and then for 2015, we'll have 12 to 16, just depending on the quality of the applicants and how this first season kind of bears out for us.
What do you guys see 2015, though, besides just how many teams there will be? Like, how do you think the sport's going to evolve? Because there's going to be combines again next year.
Okay. Dude, that's loaded. I don't even know how much we can share with you about that. Like, but
that's just spill all the beans, bro.
Okay, so this year is going to be, you're going to get.
Tony said it. You could say whatever you wanted.
Okay. This is going to be a little appetizer for what we're going to have in 2015. So this is going to be a 12 match season. Each team will play 30 matches. Then there'll be an 8 team kind of tournament. In 2015, we're going to be 4 months, 12 matches a team, And a few other things that are going to raise the profile of the sport to new levels. So
super vague, thanks.
Yeah.
Ian, why don't you get the details, brother?
Thanks. Thanks for passing that over to me, John. Yeah, there's just a bunch of things pending that are going to be total game changers. I don't know how much I can talk about or not talk about right now, so I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I think once one thing happens, there will be various dominoes that happen beyond that.
Yeah.
And at the break, we were talking about sponsors, right, for the teams. And we're definitely, you know, we want to hear what people want to join with us, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But until we get a few of these things in place, like, we don't really know what we have to offer them. Yeah, right?
I do have a question. What is the sponsor potential as a team? So, you know, because you're going you probably have to have uniforms. Is there a limit on how big a sponsor logo can be? Can you have a sponsor logo on the uniform? Does that, can it be on your grid? Like, how does that work?
So all that's kind of up for question right now, you know? So as we're saying, a lot of this is kind of brand new to all of us. And right now, until the league proves itself to be what we anticipate it to be, and we know it will be, then we can answer those questions and put a value on what we think a sponsor or huge sponsors will be, you know?
Yeah, so let's say the next big thing happens, right? And from there, all of a sudden, we're going to get a national apparel sponsor, right? That's the next step once we have something right. that's really tangible. Once that company steps up, they'll dictate kind of what's going to be on the uniform based upon if they want to just be the sole logo. Right. They'll pay for that, and if they don't want to, then we'll possibly have an opportunity, or the league will do a league sponsor that will have a spot on the jersey, right? There's not going to be a ton of stuff on there, but we'll have a national apparel sponsor that will dictate a lot of that.
And then also on the courts as well, there's going to be sponsors. So logos on the court for sponsors. Also, probably matches. Each match will be brought to you by a sponsor. There's a lot of opportunity for sponsorship here. I'm sure in the future that combines will be brought to you by a certain company.
Oh, sure.
Just like Under Armour does the NFL, right? They have and a lot of this stuff is being done at the league level, so we're privy to some of it, but those are high-level negotiations, and so what the ads look like on the dasher, right, for the hockey game, like stuff like that will happen. They have some really innovative stuff they're going to do with the grid, right, with the sponsorship, and then once the race starts, it's gone, so it's not interfering with anything, right? And so stuff like that, which, again, like the team that Tony has assembled, I mean, that it's an amazing team, and they're like so many steps ahead of where like we can imagine this thing to be that I think they take it easy on us and just give us a little bit at a time so we can digest it, because otherwise, like, dude,
they got a team of guys from like Silicon Valley like working on the technology, and that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, when Tony tells us some of the possible technologies that we will see, and it's just like, it seems like almost out of a video game. It's just so surreal. It's like that even exists right now. It's crazy. It seems impossible until our next meeting.
Yeah. Well, imagine you're watching at home. You're watching these athletes compete, and on the screen or maybe on your computer, you can pull up what's going on physiologically with each of them, because they have some sort of thing.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's kind of mind blowing, right? Yeah. Like, dude, he's about to redline. Like, coach, you need to sub him. Right? Or, oh my God, he's only going at, you know, 85%. Like, that dude is a beast.
Yeah.
And so just all this, all these things that they can do with it, right? Like, who's not going to want to sit at home and play coach? You have a video game where you put together your team and you go against a computer, right? Through 11 races or a season. Like,
we talked about viewer friendly. One of the coolest things that I thought of was when you watch other style competitions, it's hard to keep track of where people are.
Yeah,
you'll see tomorrow with the grid that you'll be able to see where each person is during the workout. But what Tony's talking about is possibly having a rep counter on the floor. So, for instance, let's say someone's doing double unders. The floor will be lit up like 90 and be counting down. Yeah. So the fans could see exactly where that athlete's at. Yeah. And something like that just makes the viewing experience so much better.
And you guys as coaches, or, you know, whatever role you're playing, the coaches are going to be able to be on the grid.
Correct.
Or at least on the edge of the grid and communicating with the athletes. I was told today, and if Ian's down, we're going to mic you up tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Cal? You want? Can we mic you up as well?
Yeah, man.
All right, we'll mic you guys up.
Okay.
We'll be able to get hear you guys communicating with the athletes, maybe see what that sounds like. And I'd be willing to bet, I mean, just so everyone knows at home, the communication that's happening tomorrow, it's probably going to be a lot different in 2 years from now. You know, there's going to be a lot of terminology that's going to be developed and stuff like that. And things will probably happen really slow tomorrow compared to what it'll be a year from now.
Well, even in the past 3 weeks, terminology has changed. I mean, if you would have seen the first race that we ran through, I mean, the humbling
beginnings.
Over there.
Dude, Tony comes up to me. He's like, Ian, I think you broke every single rule possible in that race. I was like, I'm going to ask you from now on because I know what the rhinos are going to try to pull stuff over. I was like, gosh, already starting that reputation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have seen these kind of upgrades from combine to combine, but once you get the teams together and they've practiced these things, it's going to go off. It'll be flawless, but
is this going to turn into baseball where like the umpire comes over and like yells at you face to face and tosses you out? Like,
dude,
is there technical fouls or anything like you'd see in basketball?
I mean, personally, I definitely get a little bit worked up when I see no reps that or faults.
Dude, Ian's going to be the first guy thrown out at an MPFL match.
I look forward to it. Setting history.
Yeah. Hall of Famer.
All right, so where did the name Rhinos come from?
The name Rhinos came from a book called The Rhinoceros Way. Our owners really took the values of that book, of everything that the Rhinos kind of signify, kind of charging forward as an application for business, fitness, and everything in daily life. So it's kind of stuck in everything they've been doing. And one of our mottos is just keep charging.
Excellent.
That's solid. I didn't know that. That's good stuff.
Do you have one as good?
ours is a little bit different. Ours, you know, we tried to get something that was almost indigenous to Phoenix, Scottsdale. We had a lot of different, we had some really cool ones that just, you know, like might not have worked, but you know, some of the imagery was really cool. And we settled on the Rise just because we felt like this was this kind of higher order group of people working together, whether it's the athletes, the coaches, the staff, and fans, right? And just kind of rising up together and kind of, you know, managing whatever's in our way.
Very cool.
A group of people always trying to hit that next level, like in a very transcendent kind of way.
Yeah, and so if you see the logo, like it kind of starts out tight and then it rises into a greater scope. And so that's, you know, there's a little bit of play on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So earlier we were talking about sponsors and we see Alico's sponsoring, or I don't know if sponsor is the right word, but they certainly provide all the equipment. What's their role in all this?
They are the official equipment supplier of the MPFL.
That's right.
For this year, for the combines?
For this year, for sure. I don't know how long the contract goes for, but yeah, I think for years to come, they're going to build our rig that we're doing, and it'll...
Yeah, because the rig is going to be not anything people have seen before, because they're having to build the rig for the sport specifically for the fans.
Yep.
And rigs previously developed have been developed for gyms or for things that weren't for fans.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're going to have, I mean, Tony's mentioned having a ribbon board on this on this pull-up rig, and even having things such as like a winch to adjust the height of muscle-up rings, which is you've never seen before. Pretty cool, huh?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, so, and a ribbon board with the score on it, having, it's almost like a power-up, like to kind of see, like, for instance, say John makes a sub. His bar... Right, if they're beating us, right, further ahead in the race, he makes that sub and they slow down. All of a sudden, my bar goes a little bit further, so it's kind of creating that viewer experience and also utilizing all the technology that we're talking about using into something that's functional.
Yeah, the ribbon board. I mean, the ribbon board is almost like small potatoes compared to how the whole thing is going to work.
Right. Yeah,
it's really just the integration of.
That's
scoring.
Something a person might see and go, oh, that's different.
Yeah, they're going to see the rig, and like you said, it's going to be very different than anything they've seen in the functionality. And one of the races is a ladder, right? So 16 barbells, and there will be two teams going, and if one team gets ahead, there will be a graphic in the middle that will start to shift towards them, like they're in the lead. And so if my mom's watching, she knows that the Rise are winning, right?
Right, right.
So obviously it's not going to come back to the other side because we're going to win. We're going to win the race. Oh. But so say you know the sub comes in and then all of a sudden the other team starts to chew away at it and then it flips to their side. So it's like just if you're not good with numbers and you don't want to look on the outside of what the actual numbers are, like you're going to be able to visually just see who's winning.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be very simple to follow.
Is there anything you guys need? Sponsors for your individual teams? Are there positions, jobs that you're looking for?
Right now, not really in terms of job positions, but in the future, I'm sure we'll need as much help as we could get with all the things that are continuing to evolve. We're constantly looking for bright and helpful people in the community, so definitely always in that pursuit.
Yeah, and I think what we found, just to echo Ian's comments, like today we're good, but in 2 to 3 weeks we may need someone. Like it's happening.
Things moving fast.
It's really fast, and if folks want to reach out to us, that's great, but you got to understand, like, we're in startup mentality, so there's no big signing bonus, there's no big salary. Like, in year two and year three, like, those things will definitely be...
If you buy in now, you may not make anything now, but you could be making, you know, you get rewarded in the end.
Listen, a lot of us are in there digging away with some sweat equity, right? And so if you're willing to throw your hat in the ring, that goes a long way, you know, because we're there doing it as well. But if you're coming in expecting to get paid, you need to go somewhere else. Yeah, this is not the team for you.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys have websites for your teams?
We are about 3 weeks away from launching ours.
Okay. It's probably going to be a month or so before we launch ours as well.
Phoenix is winning.
Everything is a competition.
Competition's starting already.
All right.
Do you know what the website's going to be when it is up? Because this probably won't post for a couple weeks anyway.
Not 100% on this, but I believe it will be thephoenixrise.com.
Okay. You know what y'all's is?
Probably thenewyorkrhinos.com.
Okay, very cool. Follow you guys on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of that before we get off of here?
Yeah, I'm not in charge of the social media, but offhand, I believe...
Man, why do we give him a microphone? He doesn't even know
social
media.
Yeah, man, I don't have everything under wraps here. Man, I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
That's cool.
We are, for Instagram, at the New York Rhinos, and for Facebook, New York Rhinos.
Cool.
So. Check us out on there.
Excellent. Check those guys out. Give them a follow. Visit the websites. I'm sure the NPFL website is going to probably have links to all of that stuff. Thanks for joining us. Everyone, make sure to go to barbellstruck.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we will send you updates. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.